So you can show that the extreme points satisfy that the solution is such that they're actually very simple, that essentially nearly every element of X is zero, and they're just M non-zero elements, where M is the number of constraints. Thank you. What's this? Okay, so let's send those out. Do they have to do them now? Okay, that's good. All right. So, you can show that that the solutions are such that you have m non-zero elements and r minus m zeros, where say r is typically much bigger than m. So that says that the solution of a linear programming problem is essentially can be thought of as trying to find out which elements of x to put to zero and which elements not to put to zero. And so so the typical so-called simplex method, the typical solution method, which is given the name of the simplex method, which is one of the best methods, essentially moves from one so-called extreme point to another, which it does by just successively making different choices as to which elements of X are zero and which are non-zero in the solution. It then calculates the resultant cost function and see which is the minimum. So what implications does this have for computational science? And so you'll read a bunch of papers studying parallel computing for linear programming. And so this is actually a very hard parallel program. The reason why it's a very hard parallel program is that the basic step is not very computationally intensive. It's called making a different choice for one row, doing a little bit of computation, and then moving to another choice. And so if you do any sort of standard parallel algorithm, you'll find a very low computation to communicate. Computation to communication ratio. The reason is, I say that most of these, most of the elements of any row are actually zero anyway, so you don't do much. Most constraints are very simple. They just involve a few of the elements. And so actually, linear programming is one of the hardest algorithms to parallelize. Another interesting feature of linear programming is we've sort of studied in partial differential equations sparse matrices, because we know because the matrix corresponding to a partial differential equation is sparse. Now, the differential equations you get in PDEs are structured, namely the elements of the non-zero are very clearly labeled. There's one column, one diagonal. There's the diagonal, the lines parallel to the diagonal, just near the diagonal, and then there's some very definite structure as to where the non-zero elements are. And this allows you to write extremely efficient algorithms. If you think about these miserable constraints, which unfortunately represent the real world, you know, that you have a constraint involving if you have the airline industry, you want to make certain that your flight crew can actually arrive at Syracuse in time. Then there's Jane who lives in Watertown and Fred who lives in Utica, and you have to put in the cost of their transportation, and they've all got to get to Elmira or Syracuse or wherever they're going to. And so, what does that mean? It says that the structure of these constraints are very sparse, because they tend to involve, in this case, there are only a few members of the crew, so the constraint is something that these crew have to arrive at the same place at the same time to be able to fly the aircraft, and they're very obscure in terms of their structure, because they reflect very real-world features about the nature of air crews or the nature of the arrangement of the US Air flight plan, which is hardly very structured. It's very it's got some features, but it is not a regular structure. It's very irregular. And so you'll find these matrices are very peculiar matrices. They have no structure because they reflect the reality of the problem you're solving. So the net result of this is that these matrices are extremely difficult to decompose efficiently because of this lack of structure. So you can't do natural parallelization, parallel decompositions very easily. And even when you do a parallel decomposition, you find it hard to do anything because of the low amount of computation. So the bottom line is that actually, as far as I know, nobody does linear programming in parallel. And the reason is that they've actually managed to find such fast sequential algorithms that they can get away without solving it in parallel. So currently, although there was a lot of activity about 5 to 8 years ago looking at parallel linear programming, as far as I know, nobody has a terribly good algorithm for reasons that are almost impossible to get around because they reflect the nature of the problem. But fortunately for the airlines, and unfortunately for computer science and the vendors of parallel machines, you do not need to solve these in parallel. But linear programming is certainly one of the better examples of an unstructured sparse matrix, because the sparsity is certainly not geometrical. It has geometrical features because it reflects the geometrical structure of the distribution system of a given, when you're doing a transportation problem, but it has no regularity.